الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب قول الله تعالى ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أمانية وإنهم إلا يظنون The author he mentioned the chapter on the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, and there are among them, meaning among the Jews, unlettered people, who do not know the book, but they trust upon false desires, and they only guess and make conjecture. They only guess and make conjecture. And then he says, وَقَوْلُهُ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا الْآيَةِ And likewise the statement of Allah the Most High and the likeness of those who were entrusted with the obligation of the Torah and referring to the Jews again, meaning they were entrusted to obey its commandments and to practice its laws, but subsequently failed in those obligations. And they did not fulfill the trust properly. Their likeness is as the likeness of a donkey which carries huge burden of books. But not understanding anything from them whatsoever. Likewise, after this, a narration from Abi Darda and a narration from Aisha radiallahu anhuma. So the author, he's mentioning this chapter here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, to warn from being negligent with regards to the book of Allah, from the aspect of knowledge and application. And the first verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah, he mentions blaming the Jews, and he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ And Allah, He says in His book, the meaning of which is, and there are among them, any from the Jews, unlettered people, أُمِّيُّون, any أُمِّيُّون from the Jews, from the Awam, from those who were ignorant and did not have knowledge of the book. They have no knowledge of the book, yet they trust upon false desires, and they only guess and make conjecture, any with regards to the interpretation and understanding of their religion. And then Allah, He says, then woe to those who write the book with their own hands, and then they say, this is from Allah, to purchase with it a small price, to purchase with it a miserable price. Woe to them for that which their hands have written, and woe to them for that which they earn, and by way of that. So this is from the trace and the characteristics of the Jews. Those who were granted knowledge from them, they misused the trust, and they did not carry the knowledge properly. And likewise from them, there were those as well who were ignorant and had no care and concern for learning the knowledge properly, and thus they were easily deceived and taken advantage of, and likewise they had false hopes, and they believed in lies. وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ وَمِنْهُمْ يَعْنِي وَمِنَ الْيَهُودِ وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمِّيُّونَ And from them, meaning specifically from the Jews, from the people of the book, أُمِّيُّونَ The people of knowledge, they mention this word أُمِّي الأمي الذي لا يقرأ ولا يكتب الذي لا يقرأ ولا يكتب And this has come in the interpretation of the Prophet himself صلى الله عليه وسلم نحن أمة أمية لا نكتب ولا نحسب ولا نقرأ لا نكتب ولا نحسب The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said we are an illiterate nation we did not read and we did not count and we cannot read and write so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن يقرأ ولا يكتب He was not able to read, nor was he able to write. So he was considered ummi. And likewise, the Arab in those days, the majority of them were also ummiyun, meaning they are not able to read, nor were they able to write, although some of them had learned how to read and write. But the majority of them were in this manner. The people of knowledge, they mention that this word al-ummi is an ascription to al-umm. Al-ummi nisbatun ila Al-Umm, and he is called Al-Ummi, and he ascribed to the mother, because it's the word Umm, it means mother. And this is because the person, he remained ignorant and unlettered and not able to read and write, just as the way he was born whenever he came out of the womb of his mother. لا يكتب لا يقرأ ولا يكتب كحالي يوم خرج من بطن أمه. And that he is still in the same manner, not able to read nor to able to write, as whenever he came out of the womb of his mother. And Allah, he mentioned, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا لا تعلمون شيئا. And Allah has brought you out of the wombs of your mothers not knowing anything. Not knowing anything. So this person who is considered ummi, he remained in that state. He remained in that state. This is one interpretation of this word. Al-ummi nisbatun ila al-umm. And another interpretation is al-ummi nisbatun ila al-ummah. Ila al-ummah. That it's an ascription to al-ummah, meaning the nation. So what will be the interpretation here? Al-ummi yani al-ami. Al-ami, from the general population of the people, meaning a layman. Meaning a layman. So no doubt this term here is referring to the one who is not able to read or write, or the one who is considered a layman. And the people of knowledge, they mention in general, this is a blameworthy trait, although with regards to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a sign of his miracle. It's a sign of his truthfulness and the great miracle that he brought this Quran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise the sunnah and this law and legal ways and legislation and this great benefit and statements that are amazing in the Quran, no doubt cannot be replicated, and likewise the legislation that is found therein from the issues of creed and belief, and likewise the issues of tahara and salah and all of the rulings with their conditions that are found therein, and the rest of the chapters of fiqh as well, and jurisprudence and the laws of transaction, buying and selling, and likewise the limits that are set with regards to the inheritance and with regards to the affairs of marriage and divorce, and likewise the penal law for punishment and the law of equality and qisas. All of this was brought by an-Nabi al-Ummi. Brought by an-Nabi al-Ummi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the unlettered prophet. He was not able to read nor was he able to write. This shows even greater emphasis on the fact that he is truthful sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He could not read nor could he write, yet he brought this great knowledge, this great law, this great legislation, this great book, this great way. Allahu Akbar. So in his right, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's in order to establish his truthfulness. So in general, the one who is ummi, yani he's the one who does not read or write, and he's not well versed in knowledge, and he's not well versed in knowledge. So in some aspects, it could be blameworthy. Like here, wa minhum ummiyun. لا يعلمون الكتاب لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أمانية وإنهم إلا يظنون. And from them and from the Jews there are those laymen or those who are unlettered. They do not know anything from the book إلا أمانية وإنهم إلا يظنون. And they only guess and make conjecture. They know nothing but الأماني. The people of knowledge, they mention الأماني is the plural of أمنية. And this word, it has a number of meanings. It has the meaning of lying and fabricating lies. And it has the meaning of hopes. And many times they're false hopes. And many times it will be used to refer to false hopes. Any from the verb at-tamanni, from the word at-tamanni, and the verb tamanna, yatamanna tamanniyan. And this is to have hopes. But many times at-tamanni is having false hopes or hoping for things that are impossible to obtain or very difficult. So it's used to refer to false hopes many times. Other times it's used to refer to fabricating lies and ascribing things falsely to people and the likes like this. This is from a type of amani, and also from the meaning of the tamanna. Of tamanna is at tilawa, or what tamanni is at tilawa. And all of this has been mentioned in the interpretation of this word. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions, he says, at tamanni fi hadha al mawdi' huwa tahalluq al kadhib wa taharrusuhu wa minhu al khabar al marwi an Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu ma taghannaytu wa ma tamannaytu yani ma taharrastu al batil wa ma ikhtalaqtu. So Ibn Kathir, he says at tamanni, this word here, at tamanni, referring to illa amani, illa amani. This word in this place here in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, it means to fabricate lies and to make conjecture upon falsehood, to make conjecture upon falsehood, guessing and make conjecture upon falsehood, to fabricate lies and guessing and making conjecture upon falsehood. And from that is the narration that is narrated from Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, that he said, ما تغنيت وما تمنيت ما تغنيت وما تمنيت. Ibn Kathir, he says, يعني ما تخرست الباطل وما اختلقت الكذب. He said, I never have pursued or guessed or made conjecture about falsehood, nor have I fabricated lies. And he's referring to a narration that's been narrated from Uthman radiyallahu anhu, that he said, منذ أن أسلمت ما تغنيت وما تمنيت. He said, ever since I accepted Islam, I never made a تغني and I never made a تمني. Ibn Kathir, he's saying what this means: I never lied or fabricated lies, and I never based opinions upon conjecture of falsehood. And he never followed these ways. Ever since he accepted Islam, he was truthful in that. In his shahada, رضي الله عنه. The shahid, وما تمنيت. وما تمنيت. يعني ما اختلقت الكذب. I did not ever fabricate lies. Anymore, meaning that since I accepted Islam, I never fabricated lies. I never fabricated lies. Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنهما, he mentioned about this word, الأماني, إلا أمانية. He said, إلا قولا يقولونه بأفواههم كذبا. يعني meaning ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أمانية. And from them there are laymen, and there are unlettered people or laymen who know nothing of the book إلا أمانية. Ibn Abbas, and he says, إلا قولا يقولونه بأفواههم كذبا. They know nothing of the book except for statements they say with their mouths that are lies, statements of lies that they say with their mouths. Yani the Jews, those who had knowledge, they had concealed much of the knowledge and misused the knowledge that was revealed to them and their religious status and rank in the society, and they used to belittle the people and use them, and those under them, they would take advantage of them from their own people, and likewise from those who were not of the people of the book. They would use them in the society and the likes like this, and they would manipulate and hide the knowledge from them. And these ignorant people, they would believe in these lies, and they knew nothing of the book except for these lies that were fabricated and that were made up from the people of knowledge from amongst them. وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. And they know nothing likewise except for conjecture and these false desires. So it's clear here what is intended from the mention of this verse in this chapter, warning the people from being like them. Warning the people from being like them. Another interpretation of this word, amani, is has been mentioned at tilawa. At tilawa. La ya'lamuna kitaba illa at tilawa. They know nothing about the book except for mere recitation. This has also been mentioned in their interpretation of this word. And the meanings are very similar. It's blaming them for not comprehending and understanding properly the book that was revealed to them. Blaming them for not understanding properly the book that was revealed to them, and believing in falsehood and misinterpreting the book or misunderstanding the book. So the point is that they were granted revelation and they were preferred in this manner from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Yahud. And many of them, they had knowledge, and those who did, they misused that knowledge. And even some of them who did not have knowledge, they likewise fell into a blameworthy aspect, and that was that they would suffice with reading or reciting the book that was revealed to them, yet not understanding it correctly. Yet not understanding it at all, or not understanding it correctly. So they're either reciting something and understanding it wrong and making a misinterpretation of the meanings, or they're reciting something they have no clue what they're saying. So the point is to clarify again that this is blameworthy. That this is blameworthy. That they are reciting something and they have false hopes and false understanding with regards to this affair. Allah, He mentioned about them and some of their creeds and beliefs, and likewise a refutation of them in more than one verse. And Allah, He says, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. Allah, He says, تِلْكَ amaniyuhum, referring to this word again. And the Jews and the Christians, they say that no one will enter paradise except for the Jews or the Christians. And Allah, He says, tilka amaniyuhum. These are their fabricated lies that are based upon false hopes and whims and desires. And Allah, He ordered them to bring a proof if they are truthful in that. And Allah, He clarified as well for this ummah. And this is the lesson from studying these affairs and taking an admonition from the previous nations and the way they were destroyed and how they failed. And the people of knowledge, they would say, laysa al-ajabu min man halaka kayfa halak, wa innama al-ajab min man naja kayfa naja. What is amazing or what is important to look at is not the one who is destroyed, how he's destroyed, the one who failed, how he failed, but the one who is saved, how he saved. So we take examples from those previous nations and we learn from their faults and mistakes and we strive not to be like them. We strive not to be like them or have any resemblance to them whatsoever. Allah, He mentioned about entering paradise, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِي أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجَزَ بِهِ. That it's not from your false hopes and desires, nor from the false hopes and desires of the people of the book. Whoever works evil, he'll be recompensed for that. So one cannot claim simple claims to the book or claims or ascriptions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are empty and false, and then hope to benefit from that. Rather, those claims, they must be verified, and they must, and a person's actions must testify to the truthfulness of that claim, So after this, he mentioned the second verse, which is in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. وَقَوْلُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. And the likeness of those who are entrusted to the Torah, from the Jews before, but they did not carry it and bear it properly, is of the likeness of a donkey, which carries his burden of books on its back, and yet it understands nothing. So this is from the worst parable and example, that a person, he will be favored with knowledge and guidance, and then he will turn away from that and not benefit from it, except in a manner like that of a donkey carrying books on his back. And a donkey, he's excused because he doesn't have a mind or an intellect. He's not given the aql and the afidah and the heart to comprehend and to reflect and to ponder and to determine what is good and what is bad. Rather, it's an animal living in an animal state. So therefore it's excused carrying books of benefit on its back, yet it does not understand. As for the Jews, then they're not excused. Allah had blessed them with minds and hearts to comprehend and to reflect. And likewise, those from this ummah as well. And this is the warning not to resemble them and not to be like them. And the threat and the danger of learning the Quran outwardly and not understanding what it means, or even understanding what it means more severe and then not applying it in one's life, rather contradicting it in creed, belief, or in action and statement and deed. So this is a lowly example, that a person, he will be compared to a donkey. بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. How evil is the parable? How evil and worst is this parable of those people who belie the verses and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after this, the author, he says, عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه أنه قال كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فشخص ببصره إلى السماء. He said that one time we were with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and suddenly his eyes looked towards the heavens. ثم قال, and then he said, هذا أوان يختلس العلم من الناس حتى لا يقدر منه على شيء. This is the time that is approaching that the knowledge will be stripped from the people. The knowledge will be stripped and taken from the people until they will not be able to benefit from it whatsoever. Until they will not remain anything of it whatsoever. Nothing will remain from it whatsoever. فقال زياد ابن لبيد
فقال زياد ابن لبيد الأنصاري رضي الله عنه كيف يكترس منا وقد قرأنا القرآن فوالله لنقرأنه ولنقرأنه نساءنا وأبناءنا. So Ziyad ibn Labib al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, upon hearing this, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is the knowledge going to be lifted till it doesn't remain whatsoever? And we're reading the Qur'an. And I swear by Allah, we're going to read the Qur'an. And he studied the Qur'an and learned it. And likewise, we're going to teach this Qur'an, teach the Qur'an to our women and our children. And how is the knowledge going to be lifted? How is it going to go away entirely till it does not remain whatsoever? And here we are ourselves, we're reading the Qur'an. And by Allah, we're going to continue reading and studying the Qur'an, and also we're going to teach our women and our children the Qur'an as well, so that they read and they study it also. So that they read and they study it also. So at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَقَالَ ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا زِيَادِ إِن كُنْتُ لَعُدَّكَ مِنْ فُقَهَاءِ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا Ziyad, may your mother be bereaved of you, O Ziyad. And this is a statement that literally is a supplication for a person to die. It's a supplication for death upon a person. ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَعْنِي فَقَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. May your mother be bereaved of you, and may you die, and your mother miss you. And your mother miss you. But what is intended from this is not the actual supplication. Rather, it's from those expressions that the Arab used to use in times of amazement and likewise in reprimand. Times of amazement, whenever somebody hears someone saying something amazing and he wants to reprimand him, and he, in a light way, he will say the likes of these words, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ, meaning you made a mistake. This is not, what you're saying is incorrect and not right. Pay attention. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِن كُنْتُ لَعُدُّكَ مُنْ فُقْوَهَاءِ أَهْلِ مَدِينَةِ. May your mother be bereaved of you, O Ziyad. Indeed, I consider you to be from the fuqaha of the people of Medina, yani from those who have vast knowledge, from the jurists and the scholars of fiqh, and those who have great understanding of the religion, from the people of Al-Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, هَذِهِ التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ عِنْدَ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَ فَمَاذَا تُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this Tawrat and this Injil here is with the Jews and the Christian now. And what does it benefit them? And what does it benefit them? Meaning that they too are reciting their book, and their book remains with them, and they're teaching their families and their children their book, yet they do not benefit from that whatsoever, because they had deviated, and they have exchanged the book, and they have changed that which is found therein, and they have exchanged that and preferred this worldly life over the hereafter, and deviated, although the revelation is in their hands, and it is read and recited. رواه الترمذي وقال حسن غريب. It's narrated by الترمذي, and it is considered حسن غريب. The narration is authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point is very clear, to take an admonition from them that the book was revealed to them. The book was revealed to the Jews, and the book was revealed to the Christians, and they had it, and they were amongst their prophet. And after their prophet was gone, they changed the book. يحرفون كلمة مواضعه. They changed the book. يؤولون المعاني عن مقاصدها الصحيحة. They would distort the verses and change the meanings from the proper intent. And they would also conceal the knowledge. They would conceal the knowledge for worldly gain and for worldly price. And they turned away from the hereafter, and they used the knowledge to manipulate the people and to have authority in society. This is well known. This is well known what the followers of the previous prophets had fallen into in those previous nations from misguidance. Although the revelation remained with them, but it was changed and distorted. How was it changed and distorted? In a similar manner, that many of them, they showed no concern to learning the meanings and learning the limits that are found therein. And this is also from the meaning of, they only follow, لا يعلمون إلا الأماني. They do not know the limits that are prescribed. They recite the book, or what they learn from the book is only the physical aspect. and they do not know the limits that are prescribed therein, and they do not know the fundamentals that are derived from that recitation, and they don't know the principles that they must live by and abide by in their life, in their creed, in their belief, in their manners, in their conduct, in their worship, in their transactions, in their dealings, in their daily life. In their daily life, they do not know those limits. They read the book and they recite the book, or even some of them, maybe they study the book, but they do not learn these limits properly, and they have misunderstandings, and therefore they have went astray. So therefore we have to take an example from them, and we have to take an admonition from them and benefit from this example, that we do not fall into the likes of that, and that we show concern with the Quran, learning its recitation, and likewise learning its meanings and the limits and the law and legislation that is found therein, and then striving against the soul to implement that in one's life. In one's life, in one's home, in one's household, in one's business, in one's job, wherever he may be, and establish that in his family and in his children in this manner, learning and teaching and implementing the Quran, and not sufficing with just recitation like that which has occurred to the previous nations. And if a person is not careful, time can pass and his heart can change. Allah, He mentioned in His book, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Is the time not come for those who believe that their hearts should be humble to the remembrance of Allah and that which is revealed from the truth? وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. And they should not be like those who were granted the book before, like the Jews and the Christians. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And a period of time passed by and their hearts became hard. The sins, they have effect on the hearts. And if a person, he persists upon sins, his heart can become sealed. And we will see that this is what the author is referring to in the next chapter. And the evidence is that he's going to mention about these affairs and leading up to this issue. We must be careful that not to be like them. So many examples, so many stories about Bani Israel specifically, about the Jews specifically, are mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rather, the story that is repeated the most in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the story of Musa alayhi salam. And the beginning of Baqarah is all about the Jews. And if you continue reading, likewise in Surah Ali Imran, even the first several chapters, the first several ajza, the largest chapters in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, are almost all about the Jews and the people of the book and the refutation of them. And that's a warning from them and from their traits. And from that is they have knowledge and they misuse the knowledge. And they took advantage of the ignorant and the layman from them, and they lied to them. And they misused them likewise until they were manipulated and used, and they believed whatever they taught them or whatever they said to them. And they had false hopes, and they follow desires. So the author, he says now, when Aisha radiallahu anha, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أنزل عليه إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب إلى قوله سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار قال ويل لمن قرأ هذه الآية ولم يتفكر فيها رواه ابن حبان في صحيحه. So the author now, he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whenever the statement of Allah was revealed to him, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and the day, are signs for men of understanding, until his statement, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to you, and exalted are you above all that they associate with you as partners. Grant us salvation, and he save us from the torment of the fire. So whenever these verses were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this statement here. He said, woe to the one who reads this verse and did not ponder over it. So this is a threat. Wail, kalimatu, adhabin wa halak. This is a threat. that whenever one he says wail, then he meaning may he be destroyed, may he be destroyed, may he be punished, may he fall into retribution. This is a threat. A person, he will say this to threaten a person and to warn them. And to warn them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this here. وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرْ فِيهَا. وَيْلٌ, halak, and destruction, punishment for the one who reads these verses and he does not reflect and ponder over them. And he does not reflect and ponder over them. The author, he says, is narrated by Ibn Hibban in his authentic collection. And the narration is authentic, and it has been collected by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah in As-Silsila As-Sahiha. And the narration has a story. We have read this narration in our previous classes, and it is the narration whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is in the home of Aisha, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is as if he's seeking permission from her to stand in the night prayer, to stand in the night prayer. And she's saying, he's saying, "Dharini at'abbad li Rabbi." He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Leave me, Aisha. Let me tonight just be alone so I can worship my Lord." And then she said, radiallahu anha, "Wallahi inni la'uhibbu qurbaka wa uhibbu ma yasurruka." She said, "Well, I swear by Allah, I love that you're near to me, but also I love whatever is pleasing to you." And he meaning that he's free to go. And it's her night to be with the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from his noble manners, Allah knows best, it's as if he's seeking permission, yani, in a nice manner to be alone and not be next to her, yani, in the bed at nighttime and the likes like this. And she says, "But indeed I love that you are close to me and near to me, but also I love that which is pleasing to you, that which is pleasing to you, that which makes you happy." And this is a beautiful manner of living alongside with one's companion and one's spouse. And need to cooperate together. And sometimes a man will have a right over his wife, or a wife will have a right over their husband. And then there are other things also that come into play, or issues that may arise, or things that person may wish to be involved in, any from the aspects of goodness or from worship and the likes like this. And one, he will not simply just say, "Oh, I'm going to worship, I'm going to do this," and neglect that person's right. Rather, they will cooperate with them and mention to them and speak to them in a good way. And many times the one who speaks to others in a good way, with a good intention, they will cooperate with him or her. They will cooperate with him and her. So the point is, from this, the beautiful manners of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's mentioned after this that he stood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he recited the book of Allah. He stood in the prayer until he cried and he cried and cried. And he continued in this manner. And he reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, standing in the prayer and crying until the morning came. And Bilal, he came, radiallahu anhu, to inform the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the coming of the time for prayer. And then whenever he seen the Messenger in the state, it's mentioned that he's crying until his chest is wet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that I see you going through this great this great devotion and servitude and humbleness, and you have been forgiven all of your sins, past and present. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Afalam akun abdan shakura? Afalam akun abdan shakura? Should I not be a thankful slave showing gratitude?" And this is in the narration that is mentioned here. The shahid, after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's mentioning what the author is mentioning here, that these verses were revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this night. And then he mentioned this statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Woe to the one who reads these verses and he did not reflect and ponder over them." So this is a clear clarification that it's incumbent to reflect and ponder over the verses of Allah, to not just simply recite them, especially the likes of these verses, the verses of the Tawheed of Allah, and the verses whenever Allah calls the people to ponder and reflect over the signs in the creation, And these verses, they begin here, and that which is mentioned, and they actually continue until the end of the chapter. And these verses are in the end of Surah Ali Imran. And also it has come in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that he spent the night with his khala, with his aunt, Maymuna, radiallahu anhum, and while he was a child in the house with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's observing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he does at home in the nighttime. And he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he woke up in the middle of the night and he took his noble hands sallallahu alayhi wasallam and wipe his eyes, wipe the sleep from his eyes. He went outside and wiped the sleep from his eyes, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and looked up at the stars or looked up at the sky, and then recited these verses until the end. So this is a sunnah. This is a sunnah that one he will practice daily. Every day whenever he wakes up, to wiping one's face with his hands and reciting these verses here. And obviously as well, reflecting and pondering over the meanings. Reflecting and pondering over the meanings. And this is from the beautiful way a believer, he will begin his day. This is from the beautiful way a believer, he will begin his day. So we read these verses. And the point again, to emphasize the importance of reading the Quran and striving to reflect and ponder over its meanings. Not just simple recitation, rather making effort to strive to understand the meanings of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah, he mentions in these verses, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of night and day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding. There are indeed signs of men of understanding. So Allah is informing us of this affair, and this is a call to ponder and reflect. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua against the one who read these verses and did not ponder and reflect. So whenever we hear the likes of these verses, it's incumbent specifically here to ponder and reflect. Reflect on these verses and reflect on the signs in the creation that these verses are calling us to reflect upon. If we think about the creation of the heavens and the earth, if we think about the creation of the heavens and the earth, the sky above us is a canopy. It's a canopy, saqfan mahfula, and it's a protection above our heads. And it's Allah, he raised that canopy, that sky above our heads, بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا, with no pillars that you can see. There's no pillars. There's nothing holding the sky above our heads that we can see. There's no pillars like the pillar in this masjid is holding this roof above our head. The sky is held above our head in this manner, in this beautiful manner. And the sky above our head is amazing. And if you look above the sky, you see how amazing it is. And if you go to another land, in Medina, you see the sky. It's the same sky. And if you go to Indonesia, it's the same sky. And if you go here, you look up, you see the same sky. And it's not changing. It's not different. It's powerful. It's strong. And by the permission of Allah, these are great signs. And likewise, the earth and the vastness of the earth. And whenever you got here, everything was already laid out for you. The trees are already here for you. The chicken and the cows, they're already here for you. The plants and the crops and the vegetables, they're already here for you. You didn't have to bring anything. Rather, it was provided for you whenever you arrived. Whenever you arrived. Whenever you got here. Whenever you got here. You understand that? This is an amazing affair. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ What's the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah? يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. Allah, he provided all of these things for you. Whenever you got here, it's already laid out. Allah, he made the earth فراشا. It's provided, it's laid out, it's vast, and everything is already there. Everything is already there, provided for you. Rizqan lakum. Allah, he sent rain from the sky, caused the plants to grow, and it's vegetation for you and your animals, and for you. For you. These are all signs. These are all signs. And the alteration of the night and the day, signs for who? For people of sound minds and understanding. These people of sound understanding, what do? They reflect over these affairs. And if these people, ulil albab, Allah, he mentioned about them, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقَتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Those who remember Allah always in their prayers, standing and sitting and lying down on their sides, and think deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, Our Lord, you have not created all of this without purpose. Glory to you. Exalted are you above all that they associate with you as partners. Give us salvation from the torment of the fire. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلَ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. Our Lord, verily, whom you admit into the fire, indeed you have disgraced him. Indeed, you have disgraced him. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And the oppressors, the polytheists and the pagans, they will never have anyone to aid them or find any helpers. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. This is a beautiful verse, wallahi, to ponder and reflect on. And every believer, he can say that, Alhamdulillah. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا. مَنْ هُوَ؟ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم ينادي للإيمان. ينادي للإيمان. Oh, our Lord, verily we have heard the caller. The caller, the one calling to faith. يعني we heard the call of Muhammad. مَا إِلْمُقِ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ مَا إِلْمُقِ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ. What do you know about that man? Huh? جَاءَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى فَأَجَبْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And some warnings, فَاتَّبَعْنَا. We followed him. Oh, our Lord, verily we have heard the call of one calling to faith, meaning the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, proclaiming, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. Believe in your Lord, and we have believed. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. And we have believed. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Forgive us our sins and expiate from us our evil deeds and make us die in the state of righteousness along with the righteous and the pious believers. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُولِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Our Lord, grant us what you promised us through your messengers and do not disgrace us on the day of resurrection, for you never break your promise. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَمَلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ ثَوَابًا مِّنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عِندَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ. And so their Lord accepted of them their supplication and answered them, never will I allow to be lost the work of any of you, be he male or female. You are all members of one another, and you all from each other, all believers and brothers in Islam. So those who immigrated and were driven out of their homes and suffered harm in my cause, and who fought and were killed in my cause, verily I will expiate from them their evil deeds and admit them into gardens under which rivers flow in paradise, a reward from Allah, and with Allah is the best of rewards. لَا يَغُرَنَّكَ تَقَلَّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. And do not let the free disposal and affluence of the disbelievers throughout the lands deceive you. Do not let them deceive you. Going around in the vehicles and in the cars and the laughing and playing and their authority that they seem to have, do not let that deceive you. لَا يَغُرَنَّكَ تَقَلَّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Do not let them deceive you. The fact that they're going around through the lands, through the countries, and through the cities, and through the world and entire, do not let that deceive you. Al-aqibatu lit-taqwa. Al-aqiba lit-taqwa. Wal-aqiba lil-muttaqin. The end, the final result, is for the people of piety. It's for the people of piety. This life, it does not last. It's a test. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد متاع قليل ثم مأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد. A brief enjoyment that they have, then their ultimate abode is the hellfire, and worse indeed is that place to rest and abide. لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها نزلا من عند الله وما عند الله خير للأبرار. But for those who fear their Lord are gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. Therein are they to dwell forever. And an entertainment from Allah. An entertainment from Allah, and that which is with Allah is best for the righteous. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ خَاشِئِينَ لِلَّهِ لَا يَشْتَرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ أَجُرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And there are certainly among the people of the scripture, the Jews and the Christians, those who believe in Allah and that which has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which has been revealed to them, humbling themselves before Allah, they do not sell the verses of Allah for a little price. For them is a reward with their Lord. Surely Allah is swift in account. This is from those verses here. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to directly those who believed in the previous prophets and messengers, those who at one time in their life they were Jews or Christians, and then whenever they heard the call of the caller, they responded and they believed in their prophet and in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will have two rewards. they'll have two rewards. لَهُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي. They're going to have two portions of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I highly encourage the brothers who have accepted Islam, who have accepted Islam, to pay attention to the likes of these verses. There are a number of verses similar to this verse in the book of Allah. One of them, as I mentioned, in the end of Surah Al-Hadid, and also references in other places in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, referring to those who believed from the people of the book. Any meaning those who are at one time Christians or Jews, and then they heard the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they believed. There's a great promise of mercy for them, a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. But this verse here clarifies a condition for that, and that is that they take their faith seriously, and they are diligent in their faith, and they do not exchange that or trade that for their worldly life. They do not sell the verses of Allah for a little price. They do not sell the verses of Allah for a little price. They do not sell the verses of Allah for a little price. A person who accepted Islam, inshallah, if he's sincere, he did not accept Islam for a dollar. Nobody paid him to accept Islam. So therefore, do not sell your Islam after you have accepted. Do not sell your Islam after you have accepted it. Rather, keep your religion pure. And this is any for those who accepted Islam, and likewise for all of us. We must keep our religion pure and make our deen sincere for Allah alone, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens in this life, the deen must be purified, honored and respected, and made for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, we will be tried. And indeed, we will be tried. So Allah, He praised them in this verse, and this is from their traits. And then He says, Subhana, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa rabitu wa taqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. O you who believe, endure and be more patient than your enemy, and guard your territory by stationing army units permanently at the places from where the enemy can attack you, and fear Allah so that you may be successful. And fear Allah so that you may be successful. So it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite these words upon awakening every day. Upon awakening every day, a person, he will arise, and before that he will make the supplication for awakening. Who knows that? Some supplications, you can only remember them whenever the time comes. So, for a long time, I couldn't remember the tashahud until I'm making tashahud, until we start teaching it. You tell somebody to make tashahud right now, he can't do it. But if you sit in tashahud, you can bring it, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana. This is from the benefit of teaching. Knowledge like wealth, it has zakat. The knowledge like wealth, it has zakat. And zakat al-ilm, yani, and tu'allimuhu ghayrak, that you teach other people. So whenever you start doing that, the knowledge really becomes, by the permission of Allah, firm. And you're able to recollect it much easier than before, because you're always teaching it. And plus, because Allah, He is ash-shukur. And if you help for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah, He will help you. And if you try to guide your brothers for the sake of Allah, Allah, He will guide you. And if you're patient in dealing with the people, then Allah, He will be gentle and kind to you. Kind unto you. So, alhamdulillah, Allah, He guided us to Islam. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I encourage all of us to strive to implement this. To strive to implement this every single day. To ponder. This is how we begin our day. He will say this upon arising. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said it upon arising in preparation for the night prayer. The point here is to, remember the importance of striving to learn the meanings of the Quran, and to reflect and ponder over them, and to not be heedless. After this, the author, he says, "Babun ithmu man fajara bil Quran." The chapter on the sin of the one who acts immorally with the Quran, and the one who is acts immorally with the Quran, and he acts in corruption. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ with the Quran, inshallah, we take this tomorrow. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.